no, no, you're doing it all wrong.
I say, this is the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2 RDJ, the voice of the inner Western Kentucky Fried Chicken place. Yeah. That's not chicken that you are. That was Foghorn Leghorn,
that
right?
That was Foghorn Leghorn.
Right,
yes.
Right. And I am your rooster-based friend and waiter for the evening, Lee Stark.
And I am Gary Stark, the Gadget Gorilla.
You're a Gadget Gorilla.
I'm the Gadget Gorilla.
So I have to walk around the chicken suit and you have to walk around the monkey suit. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I've had the monkey suit for how long now?
That explains your hairiness.
That's right.
And out of the costume.
Good evening, listener. How are you? We hope that you are well.
Hold on. I think I heard them say they're good.
Ah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. That was definitely the listener saying that they were good, or maybe they were saying that they were good at it.
Get going, get them out of your system. Get them out of your system, because this is going to be a joke-free 4 seconds. Can we make it?
No.
You think we can make it?
Probably not.
Make it? Come on. Yes, we made it. Okay. So it's not going to be a joke-free show, because unfortunately we have Gary Stark at the helm, and he's programming something into his computer. And on tonight's show, we're going to break some news.
We're going to break a lot of things.
Are we?
Yeah, we're going to...
Did you bring the sledgehammer and the watermelons?
The sledgehammer, the watermelons, the sledge-o-matic...
Gallagher's going to be pissed.
The sledge-o-matic is here. It is ready to be used.
The sledge-o-matic. What, did you get that from Acme?
No.
You're trying to catch a roadrunner with the sledge-o-matic.
That is what Gallagher calls it, the sledge-o-matic.
Oh.
Didn't you know that?
I was just thinking it was going to be like a title appearing underneath us, like a Wile E. Coyote cartoon.
Oh.
Like, ding!
Well, it could be an Acme product.
Sledge-o-matic Maximus.
Yes, it could well be.
Well, tonight we're going to break some news. It's so top secret.
But even we don't know what it is yet.
I know what it is. I'm the one who found the news.
Oh, okay.
I found it, I scraped it off my shoe, and now I'm going to read it off to you while it's
You're
scraped off.
Despicable!
I'm not despicable.
Aren't you?
I'm not really a nice person. Could you stop digging around for WAV files in there before you get us sued?
Okay.
So we've got some news as well. We've got our important breaking news story, which is actually, it does affect Australians. That's how I found it.
Okay.
And you're the one who wanted me. Stop digging around for sound files and pay attention to what I'm talking about.
I am
about.
Paying attention to what you're saying.
No, you're not.
Shut up.
See, this is exactly what I have to deal with.
Yes.
It's so good that people don't have to actually come in and watch us do this, because you're despicable.
I am.
And we also have some news, and we're reviewing the gadget that Pete Lucina talked about a few weeks ago.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are, because I've been playing with it, and I'm pretty good at it. I'm pretty good at it.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
I'm good at touching.
And how about the gadget?
Yeah, the gadget's pretty freaking good, too.
Did you grill the gadget?
No, because if I'd done that, it wouldn't work anymore. Okay. Although, I don't think you could really break this thing by grilling it, to be honest.
It certainly looks pretty solid. It's certainly well-constructed.
That's right. Yeah, it's a well-constructed piece of bamboo.
Yes.
So we should get in some music before we completely lose our listener to the sound of... This is one of my favorite new-ish English groups. This is Colour. Which is actually probably a fitting thing, given the review we're doing later on.
Yeah.
And this is Colour with Those Things That Mean... I think it's Those Things That Mean Something. I think I might have actually...
Those Things That Mean So Much.
Oh, well, I left that out of the actual title.
Well, there you go.
There we go. So this is Colour with Those Things That Mean So Much.
1, 2, 3, 4...
Jazz. It's not for everybody. It's better than that. Whether your taste is trad, blues, straight ahead, hard bop, bebop, New Orleans funk, or Afro-Cuban, we play it for you. Every weekday, 11 till 1. Here on Radio 2 RDJ FM 88.1 or on the internet, www.radio2rdj.com.
Yeah, It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2RDJ, the voice of the Inner West, a station that broadcasts amazingly on the radio through the power of electromagnetic. I've got no idea how radio works. I'm a gadget griller. I understand modern technology.
Radio, well, you've got to understand that radio is still, well, it's old technology, but in its day, it was a gadget too.
Well,
Radio was the gadget at the time in the 1930s.
It's still a pretty powerful gadget, but these days you can also get these gadgets called computers and phones and netbooks and all these other mobile internet sort of devices. And
are you saying that you can listen to us on the internet?
Look, I was just getting around to that, okay? I was saying that you could actually tune into the Gadget Grill stream, or turn into this stream, and hear many great shows like this one, and Colin Richardson's classical. He doesn't really have a name for his.
Yes, he does.
Does he?
Yes, he does.
What's it called? What's it there?
Called, what? They didn't put it on the.
Okay, well, you can listen to Colin Richardson's classical stuff after ours at 10 p.m.
The classic, or, fantastic.
Yeah. No.
No.
Or you can listen to The Shed, which is filled with lunacy, on Tuesday afternoons from 1 till 3. And you can do that over at www.radio2rdj.com.
And if you're really desperate, you could be listening to us as you are right now on www.radio2rdj.com.
I just said that.
I know. And on the wireless radiophonic device, 88.1.
I feel like you've just repeated everything I've said for no reason. I say it for a reason?
Yeah, you said it so that I could repeat it for you. It is time for the news on the Gadget Grill.
And if you'd like to listen to all of the news and anything else we're saying later on, you can head to www.gadgetgrill.com. Now you can get on the news. Okay.
Okay, first story that I've got is a rather interesting one.
Well, that's kind of hopefully positive considering it's news.
Yes. An announcement on the T-Mobile in America. Boards.
Yeah, they're the big mobile.
One of the big mobile
Sort of like Telstra, I guess.
Yes. And it's a warning to their devalued T-Mobile Sidekick customers. Now, Sidekick is a mobile device.
Okay.
T-Mobile.
Sidekick is here as well. Motorola, we have them.
T-Mobile and the Sidekick data services provider Danger, a subsidiary of Microsoft, are reaching out to express our apologies regarding the recent Sidekick data service disruption.
I'm confused. Please tell me this has a point, because you're already putting me to sleep.
Basically, Sidekick customers, there is a service disruption, and if you remove your battery, reset your Sidekick device, or allow it to lose power, you will lose all of your data, including the data that you have uploaded to their cloud storage.
What's the point of a cloud computing system if you lose everything?
That's a very good question. We recognize the magnitude of this inconvenience. Our primary efforts have been focused on restoring customers' personal content. We are also considering additional measures for those of you who have lost your content to help reinforce how valuable you are as a T-Mobile customer. That's pretty serious. Basically, they have lost all of your data.
No, all in America.
Yeah.
It doesn't affect us here, right?
That's right.
Great, cool, moving on. Rupert Murdoch has said something stupid this week because he's such an intelligent man.
Yes.
This is from Newsweek. Rupert Murdoch is saying that search engines, in particular Google's, you know, Google, big corporate Google,
Google,
are stealing from him.
What?
Yeah, they're stealing from him. They're taking that. No, Google is stealing because Google is linking to his stories from News Limited, but not paying for him. They're not paying for the stories. So
they're linking to the stories.
Yeah, they're linking to the stories.
So they're providing you with access to the original source of the
story. Exactly, yeah.
And he expects to be paid.
Yeah, yeah. He wants News Limited to be paid for it.
What works the other way around, usually, that if you're advertising on Google's website, then you pay Google to advertise.
Well, see, I don't think Rupert Murdoch understands that a search engine actually indexes web pages on the internet as opposed to linking and stealing story. You're not stealing information, it's just relaying information.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Sorry, Rupert. Wrong!
Yeah.
Go to the bottom of the crass.
Go to the bottom of the crass.
Yes,
the rudest and foulest people.
Adobe, which makes Photoshop, they've introduced Photoshop.com mobile.
They had introduced that ages ago.
For iPhone.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
A Photoshop Lite program to tweak and add effects to camera phone shots on the iPhone. Not to be confused with its big brother Photoshop desktop application, which sells for US $600. This thing sells for just a couple of bucks, I think.
Really? I got to try that.
Online photo, okay, blah, blah, yeah, that's all we need to know. That one.
You didn't read that one before it went away, did you? Well,
Read what before it went away?
Exactly. Well, you know how Windows 7 is about to come out?
Yes.
That we have been invited. I didn't tell you this. I should have told you this. Oh. We have been invited to the Windows 7 launch party.
Oh.
There'll be games and fun and Clippy. Clippy won't be there. Clippy was...
Oh, damn, I want to meet Clippy.
Clippy was sadly...
I want to give him a good Clippy over the years.
Clippy was sadly killed in an accident 10 years ago.
Thank God.
However, Windows 8...
You look like you're trying to run a radio show. Would you like some help?
You know, I look like I'm trying to read a freaking Windows story. Would you shut the hell up? Okay, so Windows 8 is actually already on the horizon, even though Windows 7 hasn't technically launched yet. Believe it or not.
That's a pretty sad-looking horizon.
It's a strange-looking horizon. Windows 8 and 9 are both being said to have 128-bit architecture.
That's cool.
Which is pretty cool. We don't actually have any chips that support it right now.
Of course
and
not.
It's not expected that Windows 8 will be like...
That's going to be a pretty big memory map.
Windows 8 isn't expected to come along until about 2011 or 2012.
Unless it's running on time, in which case it'll be 2017.
Yeah, and it'll probably have as widely available Windows 64 or Windows 128-bit support as Windows XP had. They're mostly expecting it in Windows 9. So expect, if you're a chip developer and you're expecting 128-bit support and you want to have, what would that be, about 120 gigs of RAM technically?
Let's just say that...
Lots.
Let's just say lots.
512 gigs, because software should really run on that sort of thing.
That is a number that is actually beyond my comprehension.
I think we should be running on silicon at that point.
I think we should get Marvin to consider that number.
Anyway, that's probably like 2030.
Yeah.
We won't be running computers then, we'll be in our heads.
And while we're on that subject, everybody loves an extended battery.
Everybody loves Raymond too!
They do, too. How about a team of boffins at the University of Missouri.
Oh, God, did you pronounce that intentionally like that?
Of course I bloody did.
Don't be mean to Missourians.
No. They have developed a new nuclear battery.
As opposed to an old nuclear battery, of course.
Yes, that could be used to power devices much smaller than almost anything.
Smaller than almost anything? Smaller,
except itself.
Smaller than my swine flu-resistant suit?
The picture that I've seen has this the same size, roughly, as a US 1 cent piece. That's about the same size as an Australian
five cent piece.
The radio isotope cell, as it's called, can reportedly provide power density that is six orders of magnitude higher than chemical batteries.
I don't know what that means.
That means that it's pretty bloody powerful, but... If you put it into a Sony device or an iPhone...
Oh, it'll suck it up and you'll lose it in a day flat.
No. You can expect to have a nuclear explosion in your pocket. Don't expect to...
Is that a nuclear explosion in your pocket, or are you just happy to see
that's
me?
That's right. Don't expect to have children real soon now.
Well, I was going to do my swine flu-resistant thing, because there's a lot of swine flu-resistant suit, but I'm not going to do that, because you've kind of ruined...
Do it!
No, you've ruined it for me. I'm going to say that, apparently, I think this is a real story. In Scotland and Iowa, people who watch the skies, because people apparently watch the skies, I'm guessing they're drunk, they have nothing else to do.
In Iowa?
People who watch the sky...
That's where Captain Kirk comes from.
Energize. People who watch the sky have found a new cloud that isn't actually recognized by the World Meteorological Foundation. This is what they're saying. They want to get a new cloud recognized. As they say, there's nothing that looks like it. They are saying that the clouds look like Armageddon has arrived.
Okay, keep going.
I don't have anything else. That's it.
Oh, damn.
You wanted time so you could find a sound clip. But, Dad, you know, sometimes not everything can be answered with a sound clip. For instance, there's a whole 180 degrees happening in file hosting at the moment. Because
What do you mean, a whole 180 degrees?
Well, it's better than the whole 360. You know, because if you do a 360...
Oh, a 360-degree turnaround, 180-degree turnaround.
Yeah, yeah, I said it right this time, yeah.
No, you didn't, because you totally screwed it up, because nobody knows what the hell you're talking about.
Oh. Oh, yeah, there is that.
Yeah.
Well, where's...
Especially you.
Yeah. Well, I'm tired. I've been up all night editing music videos, haven't I?
I don't know, have you?
Yeah. Okay. can I get this out? You've kind of jammed my head here.
I don't know. Can
all
you?
Right, all right. About 5-10 years ago, before peer-to-peer started picking up, people were downloading legal files using websites, WAS websites, FTPs and HTTP, just regular websites. That switched to BitTorrent because and peer-to-peer and things like LimeWire and Napster took over. Well, apparently with the crackdown on places like the Pirate Bay, it's shifting back to file hosting websites, but it's not shifting back to the conventional go to whatever website it is. It's shifting to these. Have you seen these services? These unknown sort of file things. You pay for like $10 a month or €10 a month, and you can upload as many files as you want, and then download as many files as you want.
Yep, I have seen that.
It's anonymous file hosting, and it's going to take over. And I'm not quite sure how they're going to legislate
Very
against these. Yeah,
Very interesting. Well, wherever the file hosting lives, I guess.
Yeah, but how do you legislate against an unknown file name?
Well, that's the problem. How do they prove that an unknown file name is a particular movie?
Exactly, yeah.
Whatever? Yes. Right, just a second.
You know, that was more than a second.
I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
Okay. At CTEC.
CTEC?
Yeah, excuse me, I'm going to cough.
You cough again? I can read some news while you're coughing, if you like. No, you good?
I am never good.
You're still alive?
I'm never good. Furnai in Japan.
Who are they?
They're a projector company, an electronics company. They've demonstrated a prototype projector utilizing a Nippon Signal MEMS scanner.
I don't know what that means. You're going to have to explain this for those of us who have no idea what you're
MEMS
on about.
MEMS is a new type of microtechnology thing. When I think we should do a show on that because it is very new technology, and there's an even newer technology called NEMS.
You know, I'm actually very proud that you're going to research the story for yourself.
Right. And this adds multi-touch capabilities to whatever surface is lucky enough to receive the projected image. Think about that.
I can't because you're coughing, and it's very hard to think about things when you're coughing. Well, I've got a sign. Are you alive still?
I'm still alive, yeah.
Barely.
But basically, you can project an image onto your bathroom wall.
You can do that with the camera we're currently reviewing.
Right. And you can move your hands on the projected image, and the projected image will react.
Now, why didn't you just say that in the first place? I mean, you could have just saved me the trouble of that. You okay? Do you need some water?
I may need to get some water in a moment.
Okay. Well, I'll say this one new story, and then we'll get straight to the music. You sure you're okay? Okay, I'll do this then. The Large Hadron Collider, or what I inaccurately named a few months ago, the Large Hadron Collider that Ron Jeremy was touting.
Hadron Collider, there's
a Ron Jeremy's the king of porn. The Large Hadron Collider is expected to have a test, or a physicist wants to test inside of it, but get this, a hyperdrive propulsion system.
In a Hadron Collider.
No, in a Hadron Collider.
Sorry.
The thing that's expected that when they turn on to blow up the planet, to turn us into a giant black, I can't do that. It's not going to do that. They've done the maths. And there's a 90% probability that will not happen.
Okay.
So even if it does, we're screwed anyway. But, you know, they want to test to see. Basically, we're almost at the point where they want to create light speeds out of engines. And someone got closer this week because there was a plasma engine that started to be in testing at NASA. A plasma engine. Okay, they're expected to put these in, I think, next year or 2011.
Right.
And these plasma engines carry something like 132nd or 164th the fuel of a current engine, and gets you to Mars in a third to a fifth of the time. So you can get to Mars in 30 days with less fuel.
That's pretty bloody good.
Getting back, I'm not sure about.
Yeah, it always takes longer getting back.
But just like that plasma engine, we've got a song that's shiny and new.
We have indeed.
This is Maya Hawthorne, a new R&B singer. I hope you like this. This is Shiny and New. Yeah.
You've been working hard all morning and now it's time to relax for lunch. What better place than with your pals in the shed? And what better shed than the one right here on Tuesdays on 2RDJ between 1 and 3?
So please, come and join Peter Worthington, that was him, and me, Gary Stark. We're your pals in the shed on 2RDJ FM 88.1.
And don't forget your lunch.
It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2RDJ. And guess what? I just took a picture of myself.
Gee, that's news.
Yeah, no, it's really good news. Anyway, that was my...
Lee Stark took a picture.
Of himself.
Well, Lee Stark took a picture. There's news.
He's a self-portraiture person. Of course it's news. And we're going to break our news right now. Dad, do you want to get the box? Do you want to get the egg? The news egg out? Do you want to get the news egg out?
The news egg.
I packaged the news in an egg, and, I meant for you to take it.
I thought that was Mork and Mindy. No.
It was like a Pavlova egg. I took a Pavlova egg, and I shelled it out, and I should just get into this without...
Just get into the story.
I'm getting in your bad jokes. I really am. Because you're
coughing. Do the story.
Fine. So you heard this week about Amazon.
Yeah, the Kindle. Big news. The Kindle is now going to be available to purchase in Australia.
Not just in Australia, around the world.
For those who don't know, the Kindle is an electronic device onto which you can download books and stories and magazines newspapers.
It's a flat
and
white
carry it
thing.
With you and read your items on it.
It's a flat white device, and it's a flat white device, just like
so,
a coffee.
So you take it into your coffee shop, you can order a flat white, and then read on your flat
white.
Exactly.
It's a flat white device. It's a flat device. It uses a new type of technology called e-ink, which is sort of like an LCD that doesn't have the same sort of glare resistance as regular LCDs do. As a result, it allows you to read off it just like as light passes over it, it's sort of like reading an actual book, and it's electronic, so it can change, it'll change the pages for you. You can download blogs, you can download books on it, websites, all sorts of things, magazines, newspapers are beginning to distribute things.
Is also a Kindle client for your iPhone.
There is.
But that's not available in Australia.
That's interesting, yes, because it's not available in Australia yet. The App Store in Australia hasn't picked up on it yet. However, I've had it on my iPhone for a while because I've got it from the American store. And so I decided to try something. Here's my breaking news. Now, I bought a couple books on Kindle this week after finding out that yes, you could buy them, and yes, you can buy them. It hasn't got a problem with Australian users. It doesn't have a problem with Australian credit cards either, because that's how it does it.
Good.
There used to be about 10,000 hoops we'd have to jump through before we could actually get anything.
Right.
However, it's adding $2 to every paid Kindle purchase.
Let me see if I understand this correctly.
Mm-hmm.
So that if I decide that I want to buy a book,
a book that costs 99 cents,
US 99 cents,
because Amazon charges in US dollars. Of course.
Okay, so if there's a book that is on the US Kindle store,
there's no such thing as an Australian Kindle store. It just gives you the books that are available.
Okay,
to Australian
so if I'm
readers.
An American Kindle client,
yes.
And I see a book that costs me US $0.99,
correct.
If I'm in Australia, the price for that item will be US $2.99.
Here's the catch. If your billing address is set to Australia, and billing address doesn't seem to make a difference on Amazon, if I set my billing address to my American address, which we don't really use very often anymore, it will give me it at 99 US cents. No worries. If I set my billing address to Australia, to where I live here, it will change that price to US $2.99. I tested
Why?
This. I don't know. I'm very curious. We've asked Amazon for a comment. They still have yet to get back to us. Granted, we did only tell them on Friday, but we did only find out on really late Thursday night. Pretty much it was our test. Or my test. But what's interesting is it's $2. It's not just a currency conversion like you might expect, because Apple iTunes Store has 99 cents to $1.19 for Australian users.
Which is not an unreasonable price differential, given the currency conversion rates.
The $2 seems to stand firm no matter where you go. A $2.99 book becomes $4.99. A $7.99 book becomes $9.99. There's no way intentional.
Well, what we really need to understand is why. Because it is the same product.
It's
is exactly the same
digitally.
Delivery method, digital delivery that costs them absolutely nothing.
Using WhisperNet, because you get it whispery quickly.
Anyway,
that's their own name for it.
Yep.
But there's no reason why the Amazon Kindle service should be charge to Australians at $2 more when nothing different's taking place.
That is just so wrong. I'd like to know what their explanation is, because if there is no explanation, no reasonable explanation, and I can't think of any good reason there would be.
All I can think of is
that's just straight out ripping off the customer.
All I can think of is the currency conversion. But Amazon have made it perfectly clear to everyone that everything you buy on Amazon.com, specifically Amazon.com, is in US dollars. You go to other websites like Amazon.ca Canadian dollars, Amazon.uk or co.uk for pounds, Amazon.de for francs and euros and whatnot. So, you know, it's very, very confusing to say
that. That is very, very ugly, I think.
Now, whose birthday is it today?
I think Thelonious. I need to check on whose birthday it is, but certainly
I thought you said last week it was Thelonious Monk's birthday this weekend.
It was, this weekend. I'm not sure the actual date is yet. I need to check that out.
Well, he's got this thing. He doesn't sing. He's not a singer. He plays.
That's and he played very well. He doesn't play much these days.
Well, we're going to play the guy who played very well, and this is Round Lights by Thelonious Monk. One Radio 2 RDJ, this is the Gadget Grill, and I've got to get my gadget out of my backpack so I can talk about it, so you need to talk for a couple of seconds.
Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. He is not prepared.
I'm prepared now, I got it.
Okay, gee, that took a long time.
I had to get my
backpack.
Just
as well you had your backpack handy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a good thing I've got my backpack very close to me, and tonight we're talking about the Bamboo, the Wacom Bamboo 2, which we mentioned on the show as one of our features a couple of weeks ago. Oh, now it's gone and tangled itself up with my headphones. That's not good. And the Wacom Bamboo 2 is what we call a graphics digitizer, or a tablet. It's a simple device, well, in theory. You plug it into your computer, any computer you want, and you have an instant pen connection. It's basically a way of giving yourself an extra surface for your computer that you can draw on. But this has an interesting catch, or should I say touch to it.
Okay.
Did you like what I did there?
Oh,
yeah, you
very,
like what I did there? That was very sly.
Very subtle.
What it does is... rather than just being a pen sort of system so you can draw on your computer, it also, this new one, the Bamboo 2, has touch mechanics. So just like the current MacBooks, you can use your fingers and draw with your fingers or use it as a mouse. You can scroll up and down. So basically you can, I would say get rid of the mouse. I wouldn't yet, but you can use the mouse less and yet let your fingers be the actual integration technology, the graphic interface as it were, to the computer, which is actually pretty impressive because we're not yet at the point where tablets have really taken over, but you can add one of these for, I think it's about $100 or $200 for one, and you can add it to any computer, and you'll have to pay attention to your monitor. Obviously, this does not have a screen built into it.
That's right.
But you can basically add touch technology to any computer.
And it's multi-touch.
It's multi-touch, exactly. So it means it's two fingers at any given time. You can't do more than two. It hasn't yet progressed to that point.
But that's still pretty bloody good because that's getting to where I think technology is eventually going to head, where you're going to be doing a lot of computing with just using your fingers and some sort of a touch device.
Exactly. And as evidence, I've been using it for 3D animation. I've used it to mix audio. I've used it to browse the web. And I've even used it to edit my Photoshop files already. It's surprisingly versatile. You do have to do some playing around, but you also have to get used to it as you've been trying.
Well, one of the things that we've noticed is that people... people who have an artistic bent, people who can draw, seem to find less...
You say bent, you mean like a flair, right?
A flair, that's right. People who can draw have less problems becoming accustomed to the device than people like me who have absolutely no talent at all in terms of drawing.
You want to know what I think of it?
Tell me.
I think it's actually pretty cool. I think that it's reasonably well priced and it's easy to get used to for me. But yeah, I think it's worthwhile, especially the touch thing. Even older people can get into using their computer in a slightly different way.
Very, very good.
Now, it's someone else's birthday, isn't it?
It is Art Blakey's birthday today.
Well, it's a big birthday day, geez.
Oh, yes, big jazz.
I hope you brought the cake for Betty.
I brought the cake and Betty's just... I just heard the door open in the studio and along came Betty.
Oh, here we go.
Blakey.
Hello.
88.1 Radio 2RDJ. This is the Gadget Grill, the swine flu resistant Gadget Grill. Did you know we're swine flu resistant now?
Oh, I'd heard something along those lines.
We are H1N1 resistant as opposed R2D2 resistant.
Tell me all about it.
Okay, well, a Japanese place, this is our useless gadget of the week, obviously. One of. Have you got one?
Oh, I've got a beautiful one.
It's good, nice to know you've got a beautiful something.
Yes.
Japanese manufacturer called Haruyama Trading Company, what a sexy name that is selling a suit now for men, which wards off the H1N1 swine flu virus, you know, for all those people who are worried they're going to get it. And it's coated in titanium dioxide, which is actually it's an ingredient in toothpaste and sunscreen, among other things.
And paint.
When this is exposed to sunlight, it kills the virus. So it is a swine flu-resistant suit provided during sunlight, which in Japan doesn't help.
Not much, no.
Or in London, or in Melbourne, or in Sydney this week.
That's right.
What's your one, quickly?
Mine is
new. Because I can hear Trombone Shorty beneath us.
You can indeed. But my device is quite interesting. It's an alarm clock that looks and sounds like a fire bell.
Okay.
And it's loud.
How loud?
Very loud.
You got a sample of that?
No, I haven't, unfortunately, but your neighbours are going to hate you within a couple of days.
My neighbours already hate me, okay?
Well, that's true, too. They're going to hate you even more within a couple of days of this going off at 6 in the morning.
It's a pretty amount, large amount of
hate. It takes two AA batteries to keep it going.
Okay.
So you won't be able to use the excuse that the power went out when you decided to accidentally sleep in. It costs you $30 US,
mm-hmm.
and it can sit on a table or it can be mounted on a wall. So what you do is you mount it on a wall. It looks like an alarm clock with a fire alarm bell on it.
It looks like a giant donut with a metal ring in it.
Yeah, that too. Yeah. Oh, there's an interesting device too. Somebody this week, or in the last week or so, has come up with a hamburger.
Okay.
With a Krispy Kreme donut as the bun.
How is that a device?
I'm not sure, but I thought I'd mention that, seeing as how you mentioned donut.
Right, okay, of course.
The magic food.
This week we were supposed to talk about Cybercrime Week, which is this week, so we'll do that next week. It's sadly a week late anyway, and unfortunately it would have been late anyway because of the way this show airs. But we'll talk about that next week, provided we can't break any other news or eggs or...
Oh, we'll see what we can...
Whatever, yeah.
We can break eggs and make an omelette.
Yeah, we could, yeah. So apologies to the people who we were supposed to air that to. We'll try and air that next week, as well as a whole bunch of other useless amounts of...
Oh, we'll come up with some really good stuff that if we...
No, we won't come up with it. We'll find it.
That's what I said.
We don't come up with anything here.
What, we can't be creative?
I can be creative. How are you going with your tablet?
Shut up.
Thank you. You want to end the show?
Yeah, you've been listening to The Gadget Grill on 2RDJFM 88.1 on the internet, www.radio2rdj.com.
Or at the internet at our website at www.gadgetgrill.com.au.
Yes, indeedy. My name is Gary Stark.
My name is the swine flu resistant Lee Stark.
I am the Gadget Gorilla. We will be back in the Gadget Grill on Sunday next week at 9 p.m. Stay safe and enjoy Orleans Avenue.
No, it's Orleans.
Trombone Shorty.
Orleans and Claiborne.
No, it's Trombone Shorty and Orleans Avenue. It's the name of the band.
Okay, fine.
And the track is called Orleans and Claiborne.
And this is from their Live at Tipitina's disc. That was very hard to find. I actually had to order it from New Orleans. It came only last week.
Indeed.
See ya.